Hey everybody, this is My Figure Universe, and I am here today to tell you about my guest. My guest is Gavin, and you can follow Gavin at GavinLowe82 on Instagram. An amazing individual, an amazing story. I hope you're going to enjoy it. I learned things, and I love learning things. I learned about books that I'm going to need to check out, and I, of course, respect anyone that loves DS9, and Gavin has this most amazing DS9 model. I love it. Anyways, enjoy the interview, enjoy Gavin, and thank you so much for checking this out, and let's go. Hi everybody, this is Ed from My Figure Universe, and this week I have Gavin. Now, I'm going to tell everybody the truth. I have never met Gavin until this very moment, and I am a very recent follower of Gavin, and would like Gavin to just take the floor. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Gavin. I am a Star Trek collector. My Instagram is not exclusively a Star Trek Instagram. That's why it doesn't appear on all of the sort of follow circles for the Star Trek fans in the Instagram universe, because I don't use it exclusively to post about Star Trek stuff. Mostly because I only have one in real life Star Trek friend. Two if I count my brother-in-law, who's a Star Trek fan, but actually in real life one Star Trek friend. So all of my Star Trek friends are online and around the world, so I usually just share stuff with them and talk with them direct and stuff like that. I don't post to a lot of Star Trek to my Instagram. That's the only social media that I use, and I don't post a lot to that because in Scotland you never want to seem like you're an evangelical about anything. You know, evangelicals are not popular in this corner of the world, and like if you're too evangelical about anything, then you know, thing me. But I've started kind of this year using it more and more to kind of talk about my passion for Star Trek, because I've been collecting for a really long time.
Well, I, for one, am glad that you reached out, followed me. I'm glad that you're using your platform for whatever. The one thing I truly love is when individuals are able to express themselves in a positive way. And the Star Trek community itself, I think, is one of the most positive communities, for the most part, unless you're talking about newer Trek, that you can ask for. I understand not having real life Star Trek fan or friends. This is something I grew up with. I grew up with not having any friends that like Star Trek. I didn't meet someone that liked Star Trek until I was well into my 20s, and even with that, that individual is not someone that I'm close with. I, by proxy, have, you know, brought my wife into the fold, so that's one thing, but it's still a lot of, you know, it's nice being able to speak with individuals like you and meeting people like you that also love Star Trek and can have these talks. You, I'm looking at your ships behind you, and just chef's kiss. Beautiful, beautiful collection.
It's a collection I've been establishing for about more than 25 years. In fact, the very first piece of the collection, I'm not sure if it's possible to see, the very first piece of the collection is a model of the Enterprise E.
I see it.
That model is the original. It was a radio. It's got a built-in FM radio to it that it was released. It was a limited edition one that was released, I think, as part of the promotion for First Contact. And it's got a FM rate. It doesn't work anymore because in Britain we turned off all the FM signals quite a few years ago, and you only get digital. So it no longer functions, sadly, as a radio. But once upon a time, it used to pick up FM radio. And that was the very first piece of my collection. And my I would say, yeah, my first boyfriend gave me it, who now stays in the States, funnily enough. He now lives in America. He's now over in America, but the very first guy that I ever dated gave me that, as a, and that was the very first piece of the collection. And then it just kind of went from there.
The irony is we have FM radio here in the States. And it's a beautiful piece. I don't think I ever truly respected the Enterprise E until later in life. Like when the D was destroyed and the E was introduced in First Contact, I did not like it. I was like, no, this isn't my Enterprise. I kept waiting for that movie where we're going to get the D back, you know, which it did happen, you know, technically years later, but yeah, she's beautiful. What caught my attention was DS9. I'm a big DS9 fan, and I saw Tarak Nor up there. Assuming it's Tarak Nor, it could be Impok Nor for all I know.
No, it's Terek Nor. The just to reference the Enterprise D, just to finish that thought, I remember going to see Generations in the cinema, and it was the first time I ever cried at a movie. I was so upset when the when seeing the first time you see the movie, and because it was pre-internet, there was no spoilers, and when the Enterprise D was destroyed, I was just, oh, I was so shocked, and it was the first time I ever remember a movie getting an emotional response out of me. And I was really, and so when the Enterprise E arrived, I just remember that, actually, I have to say the Enterprise E is my favorite ship out of the entire fleet, and there's just something very majestic about it. It's sleek lines. It's a really, I have never understood boys and cars and how, men like fetishize cars.
I
But
get, I understand.
when I saw the Enterprise E, I was like, yeah, okay, I get this. Like, that's a beautiful, it's a beautiful ship. And I was having a conversation with a friend recently, and I love the Enterprise D. Next Gen was my first show. I watched it from, beginning to end, and it's my kind of ride or die favorite. And that's my crew. But the Enterprise D, its bridge always gave the impression of like a hotel or, a luxury liner. It just kind of didn't feel like a starship. Like the Enterprise E's bridge, just kind of, when you look at Voyagers, when you look at the Defiance, and you look at the NX-01s, and you, the Enterprise D's bridge is a bit of an anomaly in its design. All the other starship bridge designs kind of have a streamlined functionality about them, and you can tell what its purpose is and what they're there to do. Whereas the Enterprise D just kind of always just looked like an airport lounge or a hotel lounge, and
Now,
it was very comfortable looking and very nice looking, but yeah.
but in that regard, would you say that the Enterprise D bridge on in Generations took a different step? I mean, it had more functionality to it, and you know, with
Yes.
the sides of being open and such.
I enjoyed that. I was saying this again to the same friend that we were having this conversation with. I actually prefer, I'm very much an outlier in the sense that I actually really liked the upgrade that it got in Generations.
So
I
I'm
really,
right there
really
with
liked
you.
that. I have a strict, like, my in real life Star Trek friend, we're always, you always debate your favorite things, and in the Star Trek fandom online, I'm the outlier. I have the unpopular opinions. Like, I'll just put it straight out there, and so the rest of the Star Trek fan base that watch this can roast me. I did not enjoy Star Trek 4, and I have never enjoyed it. And it is arguably, next to Wrath of Khan, the second most popular film in the franchise. But I didn't enjoy. I enjoyed Star Trek 1, and I really, really loved the very first one, the motion picture. I think, of all of the films and everything produced in Star Trek to date, it most lived up to Roddenberry's ideals of what he wanted Star Trek to be.
You'll get no argument from me there. The Star Trek 4, your thoughts on that? That's nuclear level hot take. I've
Yes.
never heard someone say that. That's I love that.
Yeah, I just kind of, I think it's because I did not have a great time as a kid. I was in care. I didn't have a great time as a kid, and I found I never humor was not a thing. Humor was a thing that I came to in late in life, and or much later in life, and I didn't gravitate towards comedy as a genre, and I didn't enjoy funny, and I just kind of didn't like the fact that it just kind of everybody thought it was hilarious and everybody thought it was funny. And I used to, when I was younger, I hated all of the comedy episodes in Star Trek, and I just didn't think that humor had any place in Star Trek. I always thought it should be take itself seriously, and I was not I love Lower Decks now. I've changed my mind about that, but I remember like really not thinking, being really kind of serious about humor doesn't, humor shouldn't be in Star Trek. And I always found that when they try to shoehorn it in, like an insurrection, like when they try and shoehorn humor in, Star Trek doesn't do humor very, or it never used to do humor very well. In our Star Trek, they kind of, Deep Space Nine was the one where they kind of got it, they managed to do it funny. But I always felt if you look at our Star Trek, the Star Trek we grew up with, and you've all the new Trek, New Trek's kind of found its feet with humor and has managed to weave it in, and it works really well. But I think the old Trek humor just kind of, I don't know, they it never, I don't think, I think it failed more often than it landed. I don't know if that's another mad hot take.
No, I understand. I mean, there are issues, and there are times where there. I mean, I know that there are issues or episodes that are popular that even I myself, I don't see it. And I know that there are others that will say the same thing, that they're like, I know an individual that does not like The Inner Light, which is not a humorous episode by any means, but they don't like it, but yet the grand consensus is it's a great episode. But then you have those people that don't like it, and I think that's what makes us great as a culture, is we can be different, or we can have differing thoughts, and as long as we can be accepting of all those differing thoughts, maybe the world can be a little bit better. And I think Star Trek allows for that. Star Trek is something that tries on its in its core to teach the acceptance of others and so on and so forth, even those that don't like inner light or humor, but
I find it very, I find it
go
very
on.
sad that the Star Trek community has become pretty divided, and it's really that broad church that existed isn't as close as it used to be. And like there's a really obvious divide in the fan community these days between old Trek and new Trek, and it's just very sad to me because it kind of misses the point of all of Star Trek. It's about bringing people together, and it's about, being able to kind of, sit down, and we've seen it time and time again in Star Trek, like Garak being the best example, Garak and Quark being the best examples of kind of, people that didn't share the ideals of the Federation and Star Trek and everything like that. But by the end, they had kind of, been formed bonds and made family with these people round about them. And I miss the fact that Star Trek seems to polarize more than it does bring people together now. It's and you just look at the debates over the episodes now. People aren't geeking out over all the science fiction. They're debating the merits of whatever message they're in. Star Trek was like Next Generation was a series of morality plays, and we just absorbed them. And as a fandom, we absorbed them, and we all like. We absorbed them and we thought about them and we kind of took them on as life lessons. And these days, everybody just kind of, everybody, I don't know, I just feels like the Star Trek fandom's kind of, a little bit more split than it used to be.
I think there are a lot of people that want the 90s Trek back. They want that feel, that what it was. And unfortunately, you can't go backwards. We have to look forward. If we don't look forward and change with the time, then we get, the way our geopolitical society is this day in these days, people that don't want to look forward. But on a lighter note, excuse me. You kind of answered one of my biggest questions about your favorite ship. I would have asked you about what your favorite ship was, and I'm going to assume it's the E. But would that be a ship that you would want to serve on?
Absolutely. I feel like we never got to see enough of the E. We didn't get to see enough of her. I would have liked to have seen a movie or more sequences on board her. Like in Nemesis, we did get to see more of her than we had done in the other films, the
Yeah.
two preceding films up to that point. And I just kind of feel like that E was just the I think it's because it was in high school. I was in high school when First Contact came out and that film came out, and it just felt very cool and new. And it's a very up till a certain point, it was the most as the fate we're the most advanced ship in the fleet. And it just I think its potential was really untapped. Like they really never kind of lent into its potential, and it's a shame that we never got to see more of her and what life was like on board the Enterprise E, because I'm a big collector of the Star Trek pocket books, and I've got I think all of them published since, because they did a reset of the pocket books universe when Star Trek ended in 2004, and before it rebooted in like 2009, they did a because it was off the screen for the first time ever, they gave pocket books license to kind of print stories and tell stories they had previously not been allowed to tell. So it turns out pocket books were restricted in there. They had very strict editorial guidelines about what stories they could tell, what characters they could pair together, and stuff like that, because they had to be mindful of what was being told on the screen at the time. But when Star Trek went away, they released them, and so they published loads and loads of books on the Enterprise E, and it was fun to read those because you kind of just got a bigger, insight into the ship and what it was like and everything like that. And I just love that, like everything about it, like the engineering, the bridge, everything about I because my second favorite bridge is Voyager. That's my second favorite ship is the Voyager, and I just kind of like that sleek kind of, those dark grays and those blue lights, and I like that aesthetic. I really, really like that aesthetic they established.
I really love the Voyager as well. I've been rewatching Voyager, and I've noticed that they did a really good job of balancing both the size and, if this makes any sense, the compactness of it at the same time. Whereas you can have Tuvok in one section, you could have Kim over here, and they were so far away that they couldn't talk to each other, but yet they could tap their comm and send a message to each other and whisper back and forth. And I thought, okay, that gives it size. Even though they are in a compact area, it still gives it that feeling of size. And I love that. And it was a fine balance. And this was something I thought, I'm watching Voyager probably, I don't know, my 800th time, and I'm just now thinking this. So now you talked about the film that you loved. You said you love the motion picture, and you're not a fan of the fourth. Okay, Star Trek movie, fine. What's your favorite? But outside of that, just to get to know Gavin, what's your favorite movie? Doesn't have to be Star Trek.
Oh my God.
I know it's a putting you on the spot kind of question.
My favorite movie. Oh my God. That is the hardest question ever. Like that changes so regularly. I
Have you
don't
ever
think.
had one that's a comfort film, something that, it's been a rough day, I'm going to put this on?
Probably any one of the Star Trek films, I would say, I really, really like Generations is a favorite film of mine. I like, I think it was only the second or third film I'd ever seen in the cinema. I didn't grow up going to the movies, and I think Generations was like the second or third film I ever went to see in the cinema. And I really like watching that. That's a really, really nice comfort watch. Because I was a film studies student very briefly when I was younger, and I have too many. When somebody asks me the favorite film, I'm always like, right, which genre, which decade? Like, I have too many lists. I have to, in terms of a favorite film, that's a, such an enormous question, because it's like you watch so many films and they come into your lives at different points and stuff like that. But I'd probably say my top three are Star Trek Generations, a really old 1940s screwball comedy with James Stewart and Katharine Hepburn called The Philadelphia Story. It's
Okay.
it started out as a radio play, and it's a screwball kind of black and white romantic comedy. Cary Grant, James Stewart, and Katharine Hepburn, the sort of three big acting legends of that era, were in it, and it's silly and dumb and stupid, but it's very fun. I really, really enjoy watching it, because you can just turn your brain off, and you don't have to kind of, yeah, you don't, you just turn your brain off to it, and you can just enjoy it. Yeah.
I'll make it a point to watch it.
If you could, well, it's probably on Amazon, because all these old movies, the best place to find lots of, because the copyright's expired on lots of them, so you
Yeah.
tend to find lots of them on Amazon these days. I would say my other favorite film is probably God.
I'm sorry I put you on the spot like that.
No. It's just that favorite film question. It's like, I would say, what other films? Oh, it's too hard. Too hard.
That's
Too
fine.
hard.
No,
Too
it's
many
one of those,
decades. Too many
what do they
decades
say?
and too many.
Sophie's choice. It's like, how
Yeah.
do I pick my favorite? No, I get it. I have. If, when people ask me, I always have that go-to answer, in my head. But like you, it changes all the time. As new things come out, I think, okay, I really appreciated that. And the same thing happens to Star Trek. Like, I constantly say that DS9 is my favorite show. I'm a Sisko guy. I appreciate Captain Sisko mainly because I looked at him as a father-type figure. But then I think, okay, but I really love aspects of Discovery, and I love Lower Decks. So it's hard to actually pick a favorite anymore, and I get that.
Deep Space Nine. So I said earlier, Next Gen is my family. Next Generation is my family. Me and Will Wheaton are birthday brothers. We're a decade apart, but
Oh.
our birthday's on the same day. And I have been fortunate enough that, apart from, I think, Pat, Stu, and Jonathan Frakes, I've met a majority of. I've had the opportunity to meet most of them, and they were my family. I think of them as family, and their show's a comfort watch, but Deep Space Nine is definitely the best show. It's definitely the best show. It's so extraordinary, but it's so hard to kind of. It's not like the other Star Treks where you can, Voyager and TNG, where you can just watch random episodes. With Deep Space Nine, once you start watching one episode, especially in the later seasons, you end up having to watch two and three and four episodes, because the story just doesn't finish in one episode.
That's very true. Very true. It was the epitome of binge watching before there was binge watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an incredible show, and I have the way this unit, I think I've sent you pictures of it separately, but each square in this unit is themed to a different, to each series of old Trek. And so that's Deep Space Nine shelf. So I've got, that's like got all of the, at the back of it, you wouldn't be able to see it because it's too dark. I have the original, when Deep Space Nine was first released on DVD, and those old
Oh.
clamshell dark purple kind of violet boxes. I have all of them.
That's beautiful. I love your setup. I do. I'm in the process of figuring out how I want to display things myself. I've gotten rid of some collectibles. I'm making room, and I look at things like, your display, and I take inspiration. And there's so many beautiful setups on so many different people that
Yes.
I follow, and all I can do is just be in awe of each one. And
My husband is very indulgent. My husband is very, very
in
indulgent
what means?
in the sense that he allows me to have all of this on, because that's not just right. I have all this behind me, but then in our bedroom, my library, I have my Star Trek library with all the books,
Oh.
and then dotted around our living room, I have more Star Trek paraphernalia dotted all over the place. He became a Star Trek fan because of me, and he's a big Deanna Troi fan. He likes TNG, and he's a therapist like Deanna Troi. So
Yeah.
he has lots of he keeps all he steals all my Deanna Troi figures. He steals all my Deanna Troi stuff
That's
for his
great.
unit. He has a unit in his office, and it's dotted with like a million different versions of Deanna Troi.
I that's it's kind of like my son and his husband. My son-in-law is a sci-fi guy. So when they come over, I know I can have conversations with my son-in-law, no problem whatsoever. My son just sits there, can we go? It was growing up, I think it's because I tried to force him, like, oh, come on, you want to watch Star Trek? And he didn't want to do what dad wanted to do. So that's fine. It's fine. And I don't have that with him, but I have it with his husband. So, it's a win. My wife, on the other hand, she's tolerant. She's very tolerant. And what was the wording you used for your husband? Indulgent.
Indulgent. Yeah.
Indulgent. I like
My
that.
father introduced me to Star Trek. My father watched the original series, and he introduced me to Star Trek and sat me down. And it's one of the few clear positive memories I have from my childhood is my dad sitting me down to watch Star Trek Next Generation and imparting the importance of why I should like Star Trek and why I should engage with this.
Well,
And so
that's wonderful.
No, it was, and I'm very glad that he, it was one of the few smart parenting decisions he ever made, was introducing me to Star Trek. I have to give him credit for that. He introduced me to Star Trek, and it just kind of changed my life, because it honestly was just it. Whenever I feel a particular way about anything, I can just throw myself, I can just pick a Star Trek episode, and that speaks to what about whatever I'm feeling about something. So yeah.
That's
But
wonderful.
I wanted to use the opportunity to talk about some of my Star Trek memorabilia, because I'm a big collector, and I've been collecting for such a long time. And as well as ships and figures and stuff like that, I like finding niche stuff that isn't very, that just niche stuff that there's quite a few things that I've collected over the years that I've shown to other people, and they're like, I have no idea what that is. I've never even heard of this. Like the
Okay.
first piece, and I had never Googled this until today, actually. And I was really shocked to find out that it's his pop, because when I first acquired it, there was no apocryphus associated with it, and there was no knowledge associated with it. But it turns out it's been massively influential in Star Trek. So I'd picked up this.
Ah, the tech manual. Very nice.
So this was published in 1975 by an engineer, and his daughter, and he created it entirely from watching reruns of Star Trek and just kind of visual, with no knowledge. It was the first ever, up to that point, there had been Star Trek memorabilia produced, but it was the first ever, I think, genuine technical manual, and it ended up influencing other. Excerpts from it actually appeared in Discovery. I read about. I didn't know this, but excerpts from this appeared in displays in Discovery.
Oh, wow.
And so it was made to look. It doesn't say Star Trek on it, so its cover was made to just look like a proper technical manual.
I like that. It's a little low, but I can see the top of it. There we go. Oh yeah, I like that. Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So it was published outside the Trek sphere before. Some limited Trek merchandise. Majel Roddenberry had started a company, and had started producing some Star Trek memorabilia, but prior to that, that book really accelerated it. The fact that it apparently had a real big impact on Star Trek merchandise and memorabilia, and they kind of apparently it made the Apocrypha is it made its way into the hands of Majel and Gene and kind of inspired them to kind of think bigger when it came to, instead of just t-shirts and cups, they just kind of started thinking bigger about Star Trek merchandise.
Well, I love it. I'm glad that she did, you know.
And my
Get, oh,
other
go
fun
on.
thing, I found this in a library, and I believe that it was published under a pseudonym because I've never been able to find out any information on the internet about these or about this author. And I found them in a library, and I have never ever seen them in the wild at any Star Trek convention ever. And I managed to get these on eBay.
Well, can you go down? Can you bring it down a little bit? Oh, the Star Wreck. Okay.
So there's a
Man,
series of books.
are those from like Cracked Magazine? Like reprints?
I have no idea. They're published. They're written by somebody called Leah Rulawinski, and as far as I can find, this person's never. They were published in London, and they were published in the UK. And this author, as far as I can see, has never written anything else. So that's what makes me think it
Fascinating.
was a pseudonym. And they came with illustrations.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
They're filled with illustrations, and there's a series of them. I'm actually missing one of them, but they actually go all the way up to including DS9. There's actually one with the DS9 crew. So they were published in the 90s, and
Oh,
they were
man.
written between TNG and Deep Space Nine. Because in this one, even though it's not on the cover, they introduced the crew of Deep Space Nine into this.
That's amazing. I've never seen those, but I'm definitely going to look into those. That's wow. That is wonderful.
And
I appreciate that.
they're hilariously funny because it's a parody. So it's like Captain Smirk, and they change Spock's name to Smok, and they change all their names, and it's the Enterprise is called the USS Teacup and Saucer. And it's modeled to look like look like a teacup.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's great. That's
They're
great.
hilariously funny. They're very, very funny. Yeah, they're
Gavin,
very.
I hate to do this, but we're running out of time. I want to wrap this up. I want to have you tell everybody where to find you and how to follow you. And okay, Gavin, where can people find you and follow you on socials?
People can find me at my brand new Instagram account that I'm creating off of the back of this lovely experience with the lovely Ed, who I would like to add is a great cheerleader for the community. He follows and promotes everybody, and he is really, really, we've become quick allies, and I hope we become really, really good friends out of this because he's really nice. So follow, like, share, for the Trek algorithm, as they say. And you can find me. I'm going to be starting a brand new Trek fan account called the Transwarp Collective, where I'll be talking about my fandom and showing off pieces of my collection.
That's wonderful. I cannot wait to follow that page as well. And thank you so much for the wonderful words and kindness. I appreciate that. I thank you for your time. I will let this be the time that I say live long and prosper. And I'm so very glad to meet you and to follow you. And I cannot wait to see how this adventure continues for you with the transwarp what transwarp
Collective,
collective. I wanted to say community. I was like, collective,
which
transwarp
you're a part
collective.
of, You are the first honorary member of the Transwarp Collective.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And you have a wonderful time. Thank you for
And we'll
being
speak
here.
again. Thank you.
Yes.